You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Tyler McGill was good again. The Mets win a big game against the Atlanta Braves to even up this five-game series. Going to talk about that game in the first segment of today's show, and how the plan to punt on Tuesday with Jared Eichhoff certainly seemed to work out on Wednesday. Then in the second segment, I want to talk about what McGill has done to change the Mets' perception of what they need at the trade deadline. He has really started to cement a place in that starting rotation. I'll also talk a bit about the latest when it comes to the Mets' top draft pick, Kumar Rocker, as there has been some troubles getting him signed because of a medical issue in his elbow. Finally, in the last segment, going to run through the big names that can come to the Mets at the deadline: Trevor Story, Javi Baez, or Chris Bryant. Which one of those three should the Mets be targeting the most when it comes to getting a deal done? Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also follow the show at Locked On Mets, where we have a giveaway going on right now. You get two signed photos if you enter of the two latest Mets Hall of Famers, Ron Darling and Edgardo Alfonso, who get inducted on Saturday. So make sure you enter that giveaway for a chance to win. Also, another thing to keep your eye out for, we will be doing a live show on Friday starting at 3 p.m. on the Locked On MLB YouTube channel. If you want to watch me join the show and talk about the Mets at the deadline, we're going to be covering everything from 3 to 5, so make sure you tune into that. Finally, getting to this game. The Mets decided on Tuesday to pitch Jared Eichhoff, hang him out to dry, let him get them through four innings, rely on Yenzie Diaz and Drew Smith, and try to give all of their big arms a day off in the bullpen. The idea was, win the last two games of this series. So far, so good, as Seth Lugo, Trevor May, Aaron Loop, Dries Familia, and Edwin Diaz all got crucial outs in this game. The strategy has paid off thus far. But it started with the birthday boy, Tyler McGill, who had a great outing for his 26th birthday, did not allow a run through the first five innings, and helped himself in the third inning, getting a hit and scoring the first run of the game on a Jeff McNeil single. McGill got the nod to face the top of the Braves lineup for a third time, pitching in the sixth inning. He actually got Freddie Freeman to strike out, but then when he was ahead of the count on Austin Riley, he left one up in the zone. He just didn't quite get it up enough, out over the heart of the plate a little bit too much. Really a great piece of hitting by Austin Riley, but he hits a solo home run, and that was the end of the day for McGill. The Mets went to Seth Lugo as the game was now tied. Didn't want to risk another blow up. Lugo got the final two outs of that inning. Trevor May was electric in the 7-2 strikeouts in a perfect inning. And then in the bottom half, Brandon Drury comes up, and once again, a replacement comes through in the clutch. A pinch hit home run, his third of the season. He is batting .457 as a pinch hitter this year for the Mets. It's the best mark in baseball for any batter that has at least 15 pinch hit at bats. He is 6-for-6 this month with two home runs and two doubles. He's slugging over 2,000. Brandon Drury is the big bat you wanted at the deadline. This guy is on fuego. But here's the thing. All joking aside, Brandon Drury is starting to make a case, or not even make a case. He's becoming a dark horse to have a spot on the bench in the postseason. I don't think it'll happen because the Mets have too many guys to go to. But Brandon Drury is showing that he has an ability to pinch hit and really succeed in that role. And that's something that's invaluable in October. So that's just something to keep your eye out for. Max Fried gives up that home run to Drury, and he was very good tonight. So I know there's fans that are saying, look, This offense is terrible. That's why they have to add at the deadline. And we'll talk about that in the third segment today. But you got to tip your cap sometimes to a great starting pitcher. Max Fried is supposed to be the Braves ace. He hasn't had a great season, but he had a great night. He kept the Mets at bay. They were able to score two runs. And the bullpen, of course, carried them at the end. Aaron Loeb started things off in the eighth. The idea was to get him to face Freddie Freeman, the third batter in that inning. But he struggled with the first two. Jack Peterson and Ozzie Albies both got base hits. But Freddie Freeman was the guy he needed to get out, and he did that. Freeman hit a comebacker to Loop. It was a little bit too slow to turn two, but if he didn't bobble it, he could have at least gunned down the runner at second, kept the double play in order. He still got the out at first after bobbling it. And then the Mets went to Dries Familia, and it was vintage 2015 Familia in this spot. Comes in, two runners in scoring position, just one out, gets a huge strikeout on Austin Riley, who's been red hot for the Braves in this series. Then he throws that heavy sinker to Dansby Swanson, gets a ground ball, gets out of the inning. Familia was roaring as he got the mound. It really did feel like what we saw for so many years, where Familia would come in a big spot and get the job done. You can't talk enough about how good he has been this year. Finally, in the ninth inning, Edwin Diaz comes in, and it was a little bit of a rocky outing for him. Gives up a leadoff double, gets a fly out, and then gives up a base hit that could have tied the game if not for Michael Conforto out in right field. I just kind of knew when I was watching this play that the runner was going to be gunned down at the plate because I've seen it so many times. If you get that play where Michael Conforto can field a ball in one hop, come in on it, and fire that strike to home, he is always getting that throw exactly where you want it, just up the baseline, right in the breadbasket of your catcher so he can make that easy tag, and that's exactly what he did. I will say it was a terrible slide by the Braves runner, but James McCann fields it, tags him in one motion, makes you remember how bad Wilson Ramos was in those same spots, and the Mets get a huge out at the plate. They're able to survive that inning. Edwin Diaz gets his 23rd save of the season. And you look up through four games, while the Mets have not been playing their best baseball, they easily could have lost all four of these. But they won the second game in the doubleheader behind what happened? Great pitching from the bullpen and a Jeff McNeil hit. Today it was McNeil with a clutch hit again. It was Brandon Drury coming off the bench, and it was great pitching. The Mets are now in a position to win this series in five games. They do that ahead of the deadline. They'll be happy. They should have tried to do a little bit better. You wish they would have really put the Braves out of it by winning four of these games or winning five and just really putting a stamp on their season as I talked about on Monday. But you know what? They're in a better position now than it looked like they would have been after that game yesterday. The strategy paid off for one day. That bullpen should still be rested enough to pitch in another tight game on Thursday as you look to win the series behind all-star Taijuan Walker, who really needs a bounce back start. Now in just a minute, I'll spend a little bit more time talking about Tyler McGill and how he has changed the Mets' needs at the trade deadline with the way he has pitched this month. Also, I will touch on the situation with Kumar Rocker, who has an elbow issue that has prevented him to get signed up to this point. Really important that the Mets find a way to get a deal done with their first round pick. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money. So why are you going to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership when you could just go to rockauto.com, a family business that's been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right Locked On in there. How'd you hear about us, Box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection. Reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So before we talk a little bit more about Tyler McGill, let's address the situation with Kumar Rocker. The Mets drafted this kid with the 10th pick. There is nothing but excitement. I was thrilled. This guy has star potential. They're meeting him for his medical, and suddenly everything goes quiet. And we've learned through Ken Davidoff's reporting on Tuesday of the New York Post that there is an issue with his elbow that has caused a little bit of a problem when it comes to negotiating this contract. The Mets are maybe trying to negotiate down the deal from the agreed upon $6 million signing bonus. Of course, Kumar Rocker and his representation, Scott Boras, want none of that. They want that full $6 million deal. And so they're at a stalemate right now. I think when it comes to a timeline here, the Mets have so much going on with the deadline that there's a chance that they're just tabling these discussions until Saturday after the deadline, and they're going to try to get something done before Sunday, which is the deadline August 1st, to get these guys to sign. You may be wondering, where is Kumar Rocker's leverage in these talks? He has been drafted by the Mets. They have his rights right now. Is he really going to go back to college for his final year at Vanderbilt and then enter the draft again? Well, there is a little wrinkle now that can change things that Scott Boras can say to Mets brass. This is a way my client can make money and can set himself up to really take advantage of his earning potential and enter the draft the following year. And that is the name, image, and likeness rules that have changed with college athletes. Now Kumar Rocker can make money off of his following, his fame. You can make the argument that outside of Jack Leiter, his teammate, Rocker was the most famous player in college baseball this past year. He has 25,000 followers on Twitter, over 100,000 followers on Instagram. He can sell his own merchandise. He can take sponsor deals. There is a way that Rocker can get paid now in college and still set himself up for a monster signing bonus the following year in the draft. Now, does he actually want to do that? Does he want to be back in school, or does he want to be a professional right now? I think it all comes down to how much the Mets are willing to play ball here. If they're really going to go hard on this and really try to lower that contract, there's a chance that talks break up and the Mets will get the number 11 pick in next year's draft as compensation, which is good for sure. You can find a player next year, but to me, Kumar Rocker has more value to the Mets than anyone they're going to get next year at 11. I think that even if it is an elbow injury that requires Tommy John surgery or something like that, which we still don't know. We don't know what the injury is, and it is wrong to speculate so much on a player's health when you don't have that information. But whatever that issue is, Kumar Rocker, in my opinion, is always going to be valued even more than his production because of his star power, because of his status as a top prospect dating back to high school. There's always going to be a team that's interested in Kumar Rocker. So right now, if the only obstacle in getting him into your organization is money, pay the man and work with him to get him to maximize his potential. Because worst case scenario, if things don't work out, I still think there's value there as a trade chip. I just can't see the number 11 pick in next year's draft being more valuable than taking this chance on Kumar Rocker, despite the health issues, figuring out what's going on there, and having him. He was already ranked as a top 100 prospect somewhere. So that doesn't come around every day right when you draft somebody. There's a lot of value in that. I think Kumar Rocker is ultimately a Met, but you got to be concerned at this point that a deal doesn't get done. Now, looking at a more immediate player factoring into the Mets, Tyler McGill has just come off one of the best months a rookie has ever had for this team. His ERA in July is 1.04, 26 innings pitched, 27 strikeouts, 7 walks, a whip of 1.04. He is going to be the NL Rookie of the Month. I think you can call that right now. That is a collection of starts that is probably unmatched right now when it comes to rookies this month. Also, you consider the stakes. You consider the fact that Taijuan Walker has struggled at times this month. Marcus Stroman has struggled at times. Jacob deGrom has been out for the last couple of weeks. The Mets desperately needed this guy to step up, and he has done that. He has a 2.04 ERA through his first 7 starts, second only to Nolan Ryan when it comes to a rookie through that many starts. He has developed 2 solid off-speed pitches to pair with his plus fastball, his changeup, and his slider. Tonight, he went heavy on that changeup against the Braves, which kind of flipped his pitch repertoire from the last time he faced them took him by surprise. Got a whiff rate of 39% tonight on the changeup. He showed an ability to mix his pitches well. I think working with Jeremy Hefner has really helped him. I think James McCann as a catcher who can really put his arm around him and guide him has helped this guy a lot. And he just has a great mindset to go out there, do what's asked of him, execute, and deliver. Even the offense. The fact that he's got a couple hits the last two games because he's been working on his hitting, knowing he has to bat for himself, I just love this kid's makeup. And it has really changed the Mets' needs at the deadline. Because when you're looking at the cost to acquire Jose Berrios, I'm not saying that Tyler McGill is Jose Berrios, but the big draw in getting Jose Berrios is that extra year of control that would kind of make it easier to swallow the loss of a Marcus Stroman or a Noah Syndergaard in free agency. But now with McGill, you look at the future of this rotation, things look a little bit better. You got DeGrom, Carrasco, Walker, and McGill all locked up and ready to go next season. David Peterson could factor in as well. You know, the Mets could always make other moves in the offseason. So having Tyler McGill really changes the perception of everything. When you get an eighth round pick like McGill to hit the scene and just end up dominating so quickly, it really changes so many things in your organization. It changes the perception of your farm system. It changes the outlook of your current roster. And there's no way right now you can pull this kid from the rotation. He just can't do it. So why are you going to spend a bunch of prospect capital to get Jose Berrios so you have him next year when you suddenly already have another good option for next year and he's a great option for this year? And so you look at the Mets rotation with DeGrom and Carrasco coming back, and I've mentioned this a lot the last couple of days, but they got a five-man rotation that's really good. Hell, they got a six-man rotation that's pretty good with Rich Hill likely destined to be a swingman out of the bullpen right now. At least that's what I think is going to happen once DeGrom and Carrasco both come back. You have Jacob DeGrom, Marcus Stroman, Taijuan Walker, Carlos Carrasco, and Tyler McGill. It's a damn good starting rotation. And with that, I do now believe that the John Gray Trevor Story trade is becoming one that is very attractive because of the cost of acquisition and because of what those two players can mean for the Mets. I talked about Gray a lot on yesterday's show. I just think the fact that he would provide insurance for the rotation while providing upside for the bullpen is a combination that can't be found in the other rental players this year, the other rental pitchers, I should say, when you talk about guys like Zach Davies or Michael Pineda. But where that trade could get really interesting is if the Mets got Trevor Story too. And that's what I want to talk about in just a minute. The possibility of getting Trevor Story and if that would be better than acquiring the two stars from the Cubs or one of the two stars, Chris Bryant or Javi Baez, with the latter of which having just expressed interest to play with the Mets, not just this season, but also into the future. I'll talk about all that soon. But first, I want to tell you about BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Today, I actually placed a little bet on Trevor Story to actually become a Met, plus 600 odds that his next team will be the New York Mets. I jumped on that because I think there's a possibility that trade happens. You can make bets on that. You can do live betting during games, bet on Major League Baseball, the NFL season when it comes around the corner. BetOnline has you covered with all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So if you want to head to the website now or use your mobile device, you can sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Over the past week, there's been some big-name position players that have moved ahead of the deadline. You had Adam Frazier go from the Pirates to the Padres, Joey Gallo today from the Rangers to the Yankees, and Starling Marte from the Marlins to the Oakland Athletics. The Mets have been linked to a lot of guys, but the three big stars that could be added, it seems it's Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, or Trevor Story, as the Mets look to add a big right-handed bat to the middle of their lineup. So right now, some of the most recent reports have been focused on Baez and Story, as the Mets may want an insurance policy when it comes to Francisco Lindor and his injury, a guy that can play short for the next couple of weeks. When Lindor comes back, they can move over to second or third. With Javi Baez, there was an interesting report today as he tried to angle his way to the Mets. He said he would like to play with Francisco Lindor. It's the only player in baseball he would move off of shortstop for. That's talking about long term. That's not just for this season. That's as an impending free agent, he'd like to play with Lindor and the Mets. Is Javi Baez the guy you want to go after? I think fans would love it. I would love to watch him play. He is one of the most electric players to watch in baseball. Just an awesome defensive player. Someone who has speed. He has stolen double-digit bases every season since 2016. And of course, that's excluding the 2020 campaign. So he brings that element to the table. Got a lot of pop in his bat. But when you dive deep in the numbers, I just don't know if Javi Baez is the answer. He does have 22 home runs this year, 65 RBIs. That's great. But a 773 OPS and a 104 WRC plus points to him being a little bit better than a league average hitter. If you remember, WRC plus measures hitters based on a league average of 100, 104, slightly above that. Here's the problem with Baez. And Jordan Grossman, who is one of our social media coordinators, was on Locker Room, formerly known as Locker Room, now known as Spotify Green Room, with me today. And he pointed out that you look at the strikeout rate and the walk rate with Francisco Lindor, and it's not a pretty picture. This year, he is leading the league with 130 strikeouts. His strikeout rate's the worst in baseball at 36.4% of his at-bats that he strikes out. He's walked in only 4.2% of his at-bats, which is in the fourth percentile. Not great play discipline. He might hit you a home run, but he also is very likely in a playoff series to go 0 for 17 with 12 strikeouts. It could happen. I just don't know if that's the guy you go for here. And that's not to say that Trevor Story isn't any less streaky or isn't also going to be a hitter that might come up short in a big spot. But to me, it comes down to two things: cost of acquisition and long term, what's the play? Because if you're trading for Baez, the idea might be that you're going to pair him and Francisco Lindor up the middle for the next decade. And while that would be a lot of fun early on, I don't know if I'm comfortable tying up over $500 million in that combination, especially when you consider all the circumstances. The Mets have Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos, both in AA right now, both tearing the cover off the ball. Those are guys that could play third base as soon as the middle of next season. So that's one infield spot that could be plugged. You got Jeff McNeil already, not to mention Ronnie Mauricio still in the farm system, a shortstop that might have to move off the position for Lindor, but a guy that has a lot of potential as well. One of those three guys is going to hit and be a completely dirt cheap option that can start for you for the next 6 years potentially. So if you tie up money in two infielders in Lindor and Baez, you know you're going to have to pay Pete soon. Where are you playing Jeff McNeil? Is he moving back to the outfield? I'd rather continue to bet on Jeff McNeil to be a very good player for you and focus on getting a rental player right now that can help you this season, but not spending too much of a prospect capital to get somebody and not signing one of these guys to a monster contract where I just don't think infield is an issue for the Mets. Not to mention, Louis Guillorme has proven that he could be a starter. He is an above-average hitter. He's shown that since the second half of 2019, and he's a great defensive player. And his role is probably best suited to be that utility infielder, that first guy off your bench that when Lindor goes out for a couple of weeks, he can play shortstop. If McNeil's out, he can play second. If eventually a Brett Beatty's out, he can play third. He's got a real niche here. But with all of those infielders, I just don't see the need to go out, trade for Javi Baez, and sign him to a $200 million contract. I'd rather the Mets sign Chris Bryant because he can play third base, of course, but also I think he can play a pretty good outfield. If Dominic Smith can be a plus outfielder with the way the Mets are shifting nowadays, Chris Bryant, who's a better athlete, can do that as well. So if it's one or the other between the two Cubs, I still like Chris Bryant. He had a bad June, that's for sure, hit 114. But in July, he's got a 956 OPS. He's come out of it. He's had a really good season. He's not as strikeout happy as Baez. I think he's a better hitter and just maybe a better overall baseball player. So I'd prefer Bryant over Baez. But my other problem with that is you're negotiating with Jed Hoyer. And Jed Hoyer is not going to have the wool pulled over his eyes and make a bad trade. He is as experienced as it comes when you're talking about executives. Meanwhile, Colorado, I don't even know who the name is of their GM. They don't have a front office established. It is a dumpster fire out there. They just traded a very good reliever, and depending on who you ask, didn't get a top 30 prospect for him. So that's who I want to negotiate with. Trevor Story, he's not having a great year. He's hitting .242, .313 on base percentage, .431 slugging percentage, a .744 OPS. We talk about WRC+, weighted runs created plus. This year, his WRC+ is 82, a below average hitter. But here is the thing with Trevor Story. He came into this year seeing his teammate Nolan Arenado traded, knows he has no chance at winning, and has the pressure of performing for a monster contract. I think if you move him from Colorado to a winning situation, you could see his talent rise to the surface. Now, the other problem when it comes to Story is his home road splits. Career .741 OPS on the road, .971 OPS at home. Those are drastic splits for a guy that plays at Coors Field. I don't love the idea of Story on a long-term deal or anything, but as a rental you take a flyer on, where you get John Gray in the package, you solve all of your problems at once. It makes a lot of sense. Against left-handed pitching for his career, Trevor Story's a .303 hitter with a .377 on base percentage and a .606 slugging percentage, a .983 career OPS against lefties. It solves that problem for you. He can play shortstop until Lindor comes back. Then he can move to third. If you still have JD Davis, if he doesn't go back in the deal, JD Davis, if he's really hot and you want to have him as your starting third baseman in the playoffs, Trevor Story can be the most high-profile bench bat in baseball, and you're just fine. I don't think that would happen, but still, that is what the Mets can do here. I don't think it's going to cost too much to get Trevor Story and John Gray from the Rockies when they might just panic to try to make a deal. Maybe all you have to give up is a Mark Vientos and a couple of other lower-tier prospects, and you can get the potential of an all-star shortstop and the potential of a pitcher that can either be your fifth starter or maybe even be a guy that gets outs for you in your bullpen with John Gray. I really like that deal. I think because of the cost, because of the way it fills your needs, and because of the flexibility it brings to your future, as opposed to maybe trading for Baez and signing him long term, that might be my favorite trade the Mets could make at this point. But if they end up getting Chris Bryant, I'll be very happy. If they get Javi Baez and the cost wasn't too much, I'll worry about the extension later, and I'll still be happy to watch the guy play. I just think that one could go really badly in a way that I don't see the other two guys resulting in. I just, for some reason, it doesn't feel like the perfect fit for me, like it might feel for Francisco Lindor and Javi Baez, who are best friends that want to play together. I get it. But for the Mets, I think the Story Gray package may ultimately become the most attractive. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. We got Taijuan Walker going against the Braves to try to win a five-game series tonight. We'll see how he does with that. We'll break that down tomorrow. And, of course, continue to break down all of the rumors and rumblings surrounding the trade deadline, which is Friday. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Enter that giveaway for a chance to win the signed photos of Ron Darling and Edgardo Alfonso. And also, if you want to bet on sports, it does not have to be a guessing game anymore. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day by following the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.